Hey guys, welcome to Ireland Crimes and Mysteries, the podcast channel that takes you on a journey through the dark and mysterious side of Ireland's history. From infamous crimes to unsolved mysteries, we explore the stories that have captivated and intrigued people to this very day. Join us as we uncover the stories behind these cases. Whether you're a true crime enthusiast or a lover of all things mysterious, this is the podcast for you. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and let's explore the dark side of Ireland together. We start today's episode in Moon, County Kildare, a small village approximately 80 kilometres south of Dublin on the old N9 road, which was originally the main Dublin to Waterford road. Home to about 200 locals and consisting of a primary school, a shop, a pub, a church and a community centre, it's a typical small Irish village. This is the last known confirmed location of Josephine Jojo Dullard on Thursday, the 9th of November, 1995. Jojo Dullard was born in Coughs Grange, County Kilkenny, on the 25th of January, 1974. The youngest of five children, she didn't have the easiest start to her life, as her father had passed away 6 months before she was born, and her mother passed away when Jojo was only nine. Her older siblings stepped in to take care of Jojo. She lived with her sister Kathleen for a few years before moving to Dublin and living with her sister Mary. Her family described Jojo as a kind-hearted person who would do anything to help you, saying she was a great worker who loved life and going out with her friends. On the day of her disappearance, Jojo left her home in Callan at 8:30 a.m. and got the bus to Dublin. She had been living in different flats around the Phibsborough and Rathmines area of Dublin with her friend Mary and was working as a waitress for the previous 2 years, having initially started a beautician course which ultimately proved too expensive. Recently, she had decided to relocate to County Kilkenny, where she had rented a flat with her friend Mary and secured a job waitressing in Dawson's Pub. She had been left heartbroken by an American she had become close to. He was on a gap year, and as part of his travels he had spent time in Dublin, where he and Jojo had a brief romance. She was lonely after he left, so she decided to move home to be near her family. In the run-up to the move, she had been receiving the dole and was heading to Dublin that day to collect her last dole payment. The dole is another name for the social welfare payment in Ireland, and she was going to a post office located in Harold's Cross to collect it. She had collected her payment early that Thursday morning, so decided to meet up with some friends as the bus back to Kilkenny wasn't until later that evening. She went to a pub called Buxell's, a regular hangout for Jojo and her friends, where one friend worked behind the bar. She was delighted to see him there when she arrived and set up at the bar chatting with him. That afternoon, an ex-boyfriend of Jojo's came into the bar. Despite having broken up, they had remained friends. They started chatting over drinks, and as the day wore on, they decided they wanted to rekindle the relationship, if only for one night. They called the North Star Hotel in Amien Street and booked a room for the night. After 6 p.m. and after the last Dublin-Waterford bus would have left the bus station, a girl came into the bar. This girl turned out to be her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend, who was not happy to see him with Jojo. An argument followed and they both left the bar sometime later. Jojo, realising the time, raced to the station. By the time she reached Bus Áras at around 10 p.m, she had missed the last direct bus home to Kilkenny, effectively leaving her stranded in Dublin. She managed to get on the bus to Kildare, which arrived in Naas at 10:50 p.m. She then made the fateful decision to hitch the rest of the journey home, securing one lift from an elderly man that brought her as far as Kilcullen in County Kildare. He would later tell the Gardaí that he spoke with Jojo about how dangerous it was to be hitchhiking at that hour of the night and advised her to get a bed in Kilcullen and arrange a lift home for the following morning. But all Jojo wanted to do was get home that night, so she started walking out the road heading towards Moon, and from here she got a second lift that dropped her as far as the phone box in Moon at around 11:35 p.m. She was still over 65 kilometres from home, only halfway through her journey. At 11:37 she rang her friend Mary from that phone box, just in case Mary was worrying where she was. She kept the door ajar and her thumb out to any passing cars as she explained to Mary that she'd missed the bus from Dublin and was trying to secure a lift home, or at least as far as Carlow, where she had a friend that might put her up for the night. She then started giving Mary all the news of the day's events when she interrupted the call to say a car had pulled up. When she returned, she told Mary that she had been offered a lift and would phone her at the next stop. This was the last time Jojo was ever seen or heard from again. The following day was Friday, and when Mary went in for her shift at the pub, she was shocked to realise Jojo had not turned up for her shift. She told the bar owner about the call she had received from Jojo the previous night, and they decided to ring Jojo's sister Kathleen to see if she was there. This call obviously panicked Kathleen, who started to ring around a few of Jojo's friends to see if they had seen or heard from her. When she had no luck locating her, fear began to set in and she contacted the Gardaí. The Gardaí were slow to react when Kathleen reported her as missing. She had rang them several times, but they had shown no urgency, so in the end she went to the station in person to report her missing, to be told she might turn up safe soon. She had a bad feeling that something had happened to Jojo, as it was out of character for her not to get in touch with her family. Searches for her did not start officially until the following Monday, 3 days after she had been first reported missing. Vital clues and evidence probably lost in the intervening time. Jojo was wearing at the time of her disappearance blue jeans, black boots, a dark zip-up anorak, and she also had a small black rucksack and a black Sony Walkman on her person. A witness said they had seen a woman matching Jojo's description running from the phone box in Moon and getting into a four-door car. She said it looked like a dark-coloured Toyota Carina. She stated she got into the back seat, which would have suggested at least two other people were in the car. Search efforts focused on the main road from the phone box to Castledermot, the next town past Moon. The Gardaí, alongside the Army and Civil Defence, combed the area for any clues that could lead them to Jojo, or at least help them find out what had happened. The Gardaí and the family appealed for any information the public might be able to offer. The people who had given Jojo the initial lifts came forward. The first lift from Naas to Kilcullen and the second lift from Kilcullen to Moon. The latter of which ended up almost being exposed as the prime suspect by the media. His family were prominent in the area with political connections and rumours were abound that he had attacked and murdered Jojo before burying her on his land. People were saying everyone knew this, but because of his political connections, Gardaí would do nothing about it. The rumours were rife, some saying Jojo was buried on the farm in newly poured foundations. Others stated she was buried 10 feet down in a field on the farm, while others suggested she was buried in drainage ditches that had been cleared. These rumours were eventually laid to bed when it was confirmed all this work had taken place at least a year before Jojo had disappeared. Over 800 people were interviewed and an extensive search of all ditches and dikes between Moon and Castledermot were carried out, but there was no sign of Jojo. Several suspects were ruled out, including David Lawler, a man who had been convicted of the murder of Marlon Rinn in Blanchardstown, Dublin on the 21st of December, 2 months after Jojo went missing. Lawler was a regular in Bruxelles, the pub Jojo had spent the afternoon she disappeared in. He was ruled out when banking activity showed he used his card at an ATM in Blanchardstown at midnight on the night of her disappearance. A picture of Jojo's final movements had been compiled by Gardaí, but no definite sighting of her could be established after Moon. A woman did come forward saying she had seen a woman hitching in Castledermot that night, which is about 7 kilometres from Moon. Was this Jojo? Had she made it safely from Moon to Castledermot? If so, why has the person that picked her up in Moon never come forward? And if she'd been picked up in Castledermot, no one has come forward to say they picked her up there either. Another possible lead that Gardaí followed up came from a solicitor in Dublin, who contacted them on behalf of their client, who was at the time serving a prison sentence. He implicated a well-known sex offender. He said 2 cars travelling in a convoy from Dublin to Waterford with 6 people, 2 men, including this sex offender, in the first car, and 2 men and 2 women in the second car, picked up Jojo from the phone box in Moon. The second car turned off somewhere after Kilkenny, and the car with Jojo continued onwards towards Waterford. Later that night, screaming was heard coming from a house in a cul-de-sac outside Waterford City. The neighbours came out to check the source of the screams and saw a young woman running naked from the house. The known sex offender came running out of the house and dragged the young woman back in. And neighbours, not wanting to get involved, just went back inside their homes. The informant stated that at approximately 9 a.m. the following morning, he, along with another man, helped move the young woman's body, driving to a wooded area in County Kerry where they buried her. The informant was brought by the Gardaí from prison to the area to point out the possible burial sites. After several days of searching, nothing was found. He was adamant this was the area, so a bigger, more extensive search was carried out, yielding no results. Over time, it became apparent the informant could not have helped move the body on the 10th of November, as he was appearing in court and was remanded in custody that very morning. He then changed his story, saying he'd been told the story by another prison inmate, and only said it was himself who had moved the body to get time out of prison. A total of 7 people, including the sex offender in question, were arrested and questioned about this alleged incident, and all denied any involvement. The credibility of the story had been voided by the initial lie. After thorough investigation, the story could not be validated by Gardaí, and everyone interviewed denied any involvement. On hearing all the media hype about the alleged abduction by the convoy of cars travelling between Dublin and Waterford, a woman contacted Gardaí saying she was picked up by a car while hitchhiking that night. After a while, she noticed another car following. The cars travelled to Castledermot and pulled into a car park where one of the male occupants assaulted her. She managed to escape the car. They roared after her and then drove off, followed by the second car. She could not confirm if Jojo was in the other car, but the story certainly adds credence to the informant's story having an air of truth. After a year had passed, Gardaí had interviewed over 2,000 people and taken over 500 statements. 70 days of searching had been carried out with no results. Several people came forward stating they had seen a woman fitting Jojo's description on that fateful night. In January 1997, a taxi driver from County Waterford, who said he was en route home after midnight on the night of the 10th of November after finishing his shift, saw a car outside the village of Kilmacow, some 90 kilometres from Moon, parked on the roadside. He saw a man outside of the car urinating as he drove by. He stated then out of the blue, a young woman matching Jojo's description jumped out from the back seat of the car and started running down the road. She was barefoot and looked distressed. Another man jumped out and grabbed her and dragged her back into the car. They both got back in and it took off at speed towards Waterford City. The taxi man described the car as a red Ford Sierra with British number plates. A similar looking car to the dark-coloured Toyota Corina seen by the woman in Moon. Both cars also contained at least 2 other people, as well as a woman fitting Jojo's description. This information piqued the interest of Gardaí, as they were aware of 2 English men who had been arrested in Kilkenny for attempting to rob a coin box in a pub. It came to light that they were also responsible for the theft of other coin boxes as well as phone boxes around the country. They drove a dark-coloured Ford Sierra with British number plates. A search for the 2 men commenced and they were eventually found sleeping in their car in Golden, County Tipperary, by a Garda, as the registration number had been flagged on the Garda computer system as a car of interest in the Jojo Dullard missing persons case. They ended up being ruled out as suspects after being interviewed by Gardaí. It turned out they'd been staying at a B&B the night Jojo went missing and had made a call to the UK from that B&B. When Gardaí investigated this, the information was confirmed by phone records as well as the landlady of the B&B, so they were ruled out. Over the years, the family campaigned to keep Jojo's name in the public psyche. They even hired a private detective to find her. Her sister Mary worked tirelessly from the day she went missing to find Jojo, dedicating her life to it. She was devastated by her disappearance and became her strongest and most compelling voice. She questioned and challenged both politicians and Gardaí at every turn to do more to find her and all the missing people out there. She made sure Jojo's name would never be forgotten. The Dullard family were the driving force behind Operation Trace, which was set up in 1998 to investigate a spate of disappearances of young women in the Leinster area, which became known in the media as the Vanishing Triangle between 1993 and 1998. Jojo's case was upgraded to murder in October 2020. A new team of Gardaí and specialist cold case detectives are working through a list of over 100 persons of interest. They did a victimology and proof of life review and in conclusion upgraded Jojo's case from that of a missing person to murder. A press conference was held where they again pleaded with the public to come forward if they had any information from the night Jojo went missing. Hoping that with the passing of time, people's circumstances may have changed and they might feel more confident about coming forward. Her sister Kathleen was at the press conference and spoke about her sister saying, quote, "We know in our hearts she is not alive. We have accepted this. Jojo was the type of person who would phone us. She would get word back to us some way. She wouldn't want us to worry. We know something sinister happened to her that night. It was a different Ireland back then. People thumbed and no mobile phones. But she did get to that phone box in Moon. It's from here we are trying to put the pieces of the jigsaw together. We know somebody has information and are appealing for them to come forward and help us. Maybe their circumstances have changed after all this time and we're praying they find the courage to come forward, reach out and help Jojo come home. We don't hold any grudges. The most important thing for us today after all these years is to bring Jojo home and lay her to rest beside her mam and dad. And we know Mary would want this as well. We miss Jojo and love her dearly. And that's all we want, to bring her home. There is no agenda here. Just have her home. That's our mission." Jojo's sister Mary, who had campaigned tirelessly to find Jojo since her disappearance, sadly died on the 20th of April 2018, without knowing what had happened to her sister. Her final 23 years on the earth marred with the daily distress of unanswered questions and the not knowing. Her dedication and love for her sister is unquestionable. She did everything possible to help find her sister. She even wrote to American presidents Bill Clinton and George Bush in the push to raise awareness. Every time Mary spoke about Jojo, you could see the desperation in her eyes. She was determined to get answers. One would hope that if there is an afterlife, she has finally found Jojo. In November 2021, a truck driver was asked by the Garda Serious Crime Squad review team to give a statement. He had seen a woman running naked and screaming through the village of Moon on the night of Jojo's disappearance. Incidentally, this was 9 kilometres from Usklittle, the site of the most recent dig in October 2021. This one for Deirdre Jacob, who went missing from outside the entrance to her home on the 28th of July 1998 in Newbridge, County Kildare. The taxi driver stated that he and his boss were driving through Moon at approximately 11 p.m. when they saw the woman running naked and screaming. They pulled up and his boss got out and ran after her. But he said the more he went after her, the more she ran. After he failed to help her, he used the phone box to ring the Gardaí. They told him they would send a car out. 3 days later, they heard about Jojo and went to give a statement. But Gardaí said it was a different woman as Jojo had been last seen in Castledermot. This would be the first time in the 26 years he was asked by Gardaí to officially give a statement. By 2022, this new investigative team based out of the Naas Garda station, consisting of an incident room coordinator, 2 detective sergeants and a team of 13 Gardaí from the Serious Crime Squad, were looking at all the evidence with fresh eyes. Larry Murphy, who was convicted in 2001 of the rape of a young Carlo woman, was interviewed about the disappearance, but no evidence was found linking him. Known as the Beast of Baltinglass, his home was only a few kilometres from where Jojo went missing. Superintendent Martin Walker from the review team stated in an interview that "The emphasis at this juncture is on the excess of 100 persons of interest in this case, and that's where our focus is." Jojo's sister Kathleen welcomed the new investigation when interviewed on what would have been Jojo's 27th year away from home in 2022. She said, quote, They're putting everything they can into the case, and they've done an awful lot, and our prayers are with them. Please God, we'll get the result that will find Jojo in the end. This is a very frustrating case indeed. So many potential sightings that seem to lead nowhere. Did Jojo make it to Castle Dermot that night, or did she actually leave Moon at all? Then there's the sighting in Kilmacow by the taxi driver. But yet nothing concrete from any of them. I feel for Jojo's family so much. The last 27 years must have been agonising. I also feel for her friend Mary, who was the last person to talk to her. She must have so many what-ifs constantly going through her mind. Her sister Mary dying without knowing the truth. It's truly heartbreaking. Someone out there knows what happened to Jojo and they know where she is. If you are that person, or if you have any new information that can help the Gardaí solve this and bring Jojo home to her family and end their suffering of not knowing, please contact the National Missing Persons Helpline on 1-800-442-552 or email office@nmph.ie. Or ring the Help Bring Them Home confidential line on 1800-911-999. Or alternatively, ring the Garda confidential helpline on 1800-666-111. So guys, thanks for joining me on Ireland Crimes and Mysteries today. I hope you enjoyed exploring the darker side of Ireland with me. If you have any suggestions for future episodes or would like to share your thoughts on the cases we've covered, please feel free to leave a comment. Don't forget to subscribe to my channel to stay up to date for all my latest episodes. Until our next investigation, keep your eyes open and your mind curious. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. The research for each episode is gathered from open source and archive material that can be found on the web. Each case deals with real crimes and real people. I have nothing but respect for the victims and their families and friends.